A very good evening to all the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So tonight's program is supposed to be evening chanting. So today we chant a slightly different one. Turn to page 21 of the retreat chanting book. Reflection on sharing of blessing. So this one is very good. Let us compose our mind. Develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Page 21. Reflection on sharing blessings. Now let us chant the verse of sharing and aspiration. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments and all harmful states of mind quickly cease until I realize Nibbana. In every kind of birth, may I have an upright mind with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all this, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.
Now let us chant the reflection on universal well-being.
May I abide in well-being, in freedom from affliction, in freedom from hostility, in freedom from ill will, in freedom from anxiety, and may I maintain well-being in myself. May everyone abide in well-being, in freedom of hostility, in freedom from ill will, in freedom from anxiety, and may they maintain well-being in themselves. May all beings be released from all suffering, and may they not be parted from the good fortune they have attained. When they act upon intention, all beings are the owners of their actions and inherit its results. Their future is born from such action, companion to such action, and its results will be their home. All actions with intention, be they skillful or harmful, of such acts they will be the heirs.
Okay. Now let us make the four boundless qualities shine forth.
I will abide prevailing one quarter with a mind imbued with loving kindness. Likewise the second, likewise the third,
Likewise, the fourth,
so
above
above
and
and
below,
around
around and
everywhere,
and
and to all as to myself, I will abide pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with loving-kindness,
abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility, and without ill will. I will abide pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with compassion. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, so above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself, I will abide pervading the all, encompassing world with a mind imbued with compassion,
abundance,
exalted,
immeasurable,
without hostility and without ill will.
I
will abide pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with gladness. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, so above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself, I will abide pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with gladness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility and without ill will. I will abide pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with equanimity. Likewise the second, likewise the third, likewise the fourth, so above and below, around and everywhere, and to all as to myself, I will abide pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with equanimity, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility, and without ill will.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then we will go through this one. Turn to page 54, I think. Yeah, 54. That day I just finished Karaniya Metta Sutta. We didn't finish the Mangala Sutta, Mahamangala Sutta. Discourse on the highest blessing. So if you want to develop the causes and conditions for you to receive the highest blessing, this sutta is very informative and useful. Thus have I heard, the Blessed One was staying at Sarvati, residing at the Jetas group in Ananda Pindika Park. Then in the dark of the night, the radiant Devas illuminated all of Jetas group. So these Devas, when they come down, they have this illumination. Yeah. This one must be middle of the night or what? He bowed down low before the Blessed One. Then standing on one side, he said, that is how they prostrate, they develop the reverential salutation. Then they request from the Buddha. Devas are concerned for happiness and ever long for peace. The same is true for humankind. What then are the highest blessings? So they are all very keen to learn from Sammasambuddha. They know very rare to have the Buddha. So once the Buddha is here, you ask for this type of advice and the sutta come out, then it will benefit the world. That's why we chanted it that day, yeah, with Ingbi's help. So the Buddha replied, what then
are the highest blessing. Again, avoid those of foolish way, associate with the wise, and honor those worthy of honor. These are the highest blessing. So when you make aspiration, imina punyang kamina, mami bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patya, that is making this highest blessing, anasara. But you must do it with faith, with sincerity, anasara. You like parrot like that, chana, no use. But when you seriously want to realize this, so that life after life, when you invoke power of merits for this aspiration, it's like you know how to play poker or not. Yeah? You silang everything. No? It means punyang kamina. No? So you read. Oh, sorry. It's in the chanting book there. No. Imina punyang kamina. The first line, the English wording is what? By the power of? By the grace of. He never say all. Oh, no. By the grace of this merit means this time, you whatever you perform today, but you can silang. By the grace of whatever merits from the distant past until now, that this nature of mind or of mind have sincerely and diligently cultivated, may it arise the causes and conditions. For my nature, whenever it arises, to always avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nirvana can be realized as soon as possible. But for those who still not on the path, not cultivating yet, maybe what Padmasuri suggests to you is good. You not only aspire to meet up with the wise, avoid the foolish, but you must know how to recognize them. Recognize not only the wise, the foolish also. Then aspire further, recognize and follow. Recognize, don't follow, also no use. But after you are cultivated, you won't go wrong. You already know who are the heedless and foolish, understand? You know how you know. When you know this four circle formation, when you are here long enough, then the wisdom arises. Then those heedless, with this mundane thinking, very easy to know. Understand? Then in the don't know what, Sutta, the Buddha has said, the thing that lead to downfall, you remember? Amy? What is the sutta already? Oh, I just say, the thing to lead to downfall. What are the things that lead to downfall? One of them I know is late night. Go out late night. Then there are a lot of other things. And association with... Sikalo wada, got na? Google, Asuyan can Google. Not Sigalo la. Sigalo is about the duty one, all the duty one. This one is downfall. Somebody Google. Can read? Okay, read the type of condition for downfall. Nah.
Okay, the sutta is Prabhava Sutta, Prabhava Sutta, Sutta of the Downfall, and the various listed, associating with the bad friends, laziness, disrespect of the elders, addiction to intoxicants, sexual misconduct, arrogance, and not giving support to parents.
So
intoxicant is breaking five precept, the fifth precept, understand or not? Associate with the wrong guy. Bad guy. Whatever. So make sure you look for a friend. Don't go and look for Macau friend. Understand or not? You know Macau in Cantonese is what? Macau friend. Or Macau friend. So all this is in the sutta. Understand? You avoid that, then you avoid the foolish. Understand or not? Because the foolish, they actually do a lot of wise. Sexual misconduct was one of them. No? And all these lead to downfall. No? You break precept, understand or not? Severe. Coming. So, you must know how to recognize who are the heedless and who are the, what they call, foolish. Foolish means gong gong one. Sometimes good-hearted fools are very rigid in their views. That one also very foolish. They will tell you about tradition. My tradition tell me, cannot step on the moon kwang, cannot step on what. Then, at night, chit goi pua, cannot go out. You go and believe all those things. So when you hear this, you know, this one got karmic behind one, foolish one. The wise one won't tell you all this one. They won't cling on to rites and ritual tradition. All the, what they call, frivolous meaning, or meaningless type of celebration and all those things. So tradition is passed down. I give you an example you will know. Last time my father passed away that time at the wake, there were the very elderly people, you know, belongs to my mother's side, elder than older one generation than my mother. So they come and tell my mother. He said, how come your children are all never cry, never like grieve? It doesn't look like a funeral. No? Funeral is not like a funeral. Then he tell my mother what? No? If like that, your father, your husband will go down to hell. Oh, he like that tell my mother. Then there was another case, like you said, a devotee who know my father very long already. He come with the wife. So the wife pay respect. Take whatever incense that people give him. Give her. Then after that, the husband himself go and take. So the usual one is take three. Right? So she wanted to, out of good intent, to pay respect to my father. He liked the incense, he want to put down there. That relative, one generation above my mother, almost reprimanded him. No, stop, cannot. Three means three die. He said, this one only the husband die. The wife hasn't died. Ayo, like that, don't pay respect, no joystick, nobody die. Ayo, where got like that one? So it was actually foolish and deluded. Real tradition. We are passed down from the elders, understand? And the elders have a lot of this logic thinking on. So if you believe all this, you will get into trouble. Okay? And we continue, otherwise we won't end. So avoid those who are foolish. Look at the downfall, you will know already. These are the foolish and heedless. Then associate with the wise. You know how to recognize the wise or not? Sadhu. Xuanhua very good, no? Xuanhua, people ask him, no? How do you know they are the wise one? He say, very easy. You observe. Whether he got greed or not. Whether he got ego or not. Whether he got keep the noble eightfold path quality or not. All this missing, no right view, no right speech, no right thought. Then you straight away you will know, isn't it?
This is not the one. The wise one has the four virtues of good conduct. It's the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Of upright conduct, then of wise conduct, and of dutiful conduct. That's why in the downfall, you neglect your parent or relative. I don't know whether got right relative or not, but parent. Is considered a very severe karmic repercussion, or lead to downfall. So all this, when you understand, you will do your duty, or you will be having the understanding to care for them, feel a piety, all those things. Like last time, we know, Brother Tung's father and Padmasuri and Brother Tung, they look after him, understand, serve him. Until 96 years old. So all those who look after their parents, their life very good. You don't believe, you can try. Then the other thing that is not mentioned there, I realize, when I young, I like to help my parents do the whatever household duty or those things. And because of that, I realize I very lucky. So, because my father owned a medical shop, every day I open the door, close the door. Unless I need to study for exam, my father will help me to close. Otherwise, I will open, I will close. Then I realize I sweep the floor. I help my mother a lot of things, chop firewood, all those things I will do. Then I realize, I like very lucky. So a lot of things you have to go through life to develop the understanding. Okay? Now we continue. Honoring those worthy of honoring. This one easy. Those that you have to honor means people who have done a lot of good things to society. People who are a blessing to all, to society, to humanity, and they really contribute to the what they call society. Not the one that want fame and all those things, that one you have to be careful. But those that are worthy of honor, like wise one, enlightened one, your elders and all those things, your own parents. That's why we continue this tradition. New Year, when I give ang pao to my children also pay respect to me, understand not? Then my parents, I also pay respect to them. My grandmother also, I pay respect to them. But this is how, this is the only few type of tradition which is very good. And that's how respect and care for your parents. Okay, next one. Oh, okay. This one very easy. Living in places of suitable kind with the fruits of past good deeds. You must have this parami. Otherwise, you cannot stay near a place where you can receive the Dhamma one. Then he said, and guided by the right way, this is the highest blessing. So to live in a suitable place is not easy. I think in one of the sutta is like where you can listen to Dhamma and all those things. Accomplished in learning, this one was what Engby says, skill and all those things, and craftsmanship skill. He who is able, with discipline highly trained, and speech that is true and pleasant, see? Gentle, pleasant, harmonious speech to hear. This constitutes the highest blessing. And then again, providing your mother and father support and cherishing family and the way of work that harm no beings. See, when you keep your precept, first precept, this one you can do. These are the highest blessing. Then the next one, generosity and a righteous life, offering help to relative and kinsmen. This one very important. And acting in way that leave no blame. These are the highest blessing. So whenever near to New Year, or whenever there is news that some of our brother, sister's family, sometimes their in-law or the same got problem, we will try to help resolve it. And the way you help is very important because it helps relieve suffering. So what happened was, I got 6 brothers, 3 sisters. One of them gave away when young. So it so happened, we all brothers, sisters, all no problem, no. The spouse all still there, children all still there. But my 2 sisters, one gave away, one actual sister. These are the 2 sisters that got married, no. So what happened was, due to certain karmic condition, both of them died quite young. So about age 50-something, I think. And they were affected, no. That's why we have to help them. I have to fly down to Alastar, talk to them. Then the other one stay around my place, Puchong one, very easy. I advise her and she handle it. Then I went over to the wake and all those things and help resolve and take care of the kids and advise them. And now they are very close to me. You ask my daughter. Or every now and then come and camp in my house. Now also camping at home. We're not around, they don't know we go for retreat, they also there camping. So all this, because they can see you are sincere and you are generous. Every time they come, I take them for good meal and all this thing. Then, because when you can have the means, why not? Give them joy, give them happiness, but don't let people take advantage of you. And they appreciate. That's why all my brothers and sisters are on their own, they are successful. So now the children also, my nephew, my niece also. And really, you look at life, in fact, every family also got their own problem. But my family seldom got issue and problem or not. Even God also, like the 2 sisters on that one. To me, it's one very minor and very easy to resolve. And we resolve it very well. And they turn around. Beautiful. Okay, I have to go on faster. Steadfast in restraint and shunning evil way, avoid intoxicant that douse the mind, and heedful in all things that arise. These are the highest blessings. So the steadfast in restraint or keeping precept, all I think you all can. But heedfulness in all things that arise. That one not easy. But can be done. Then after that, strive on with heedfulness, Gautim. Respectful and humble, and of humble way. This one I got a lot. Contentment and gratitude, I also got a lot. And hearing the Dhamma frequently. This one you all have, isn't it? And hearing the Dhamma frequently taught. These are the highest blessing. Okay. The next one. Patience and willingness to accept one's fault. This one very important. This one you must develop. Seeing venerated seekers of the truth. And share often the word of Dhamma. These are the highest blessing. So if you can, within your means, you can also share. Just now at the lunch break, I was with Song and PG. PG says some foreigner came and visited today and asked about Buddhism. She shared. Then after that, one Indian lady listening from the side came to PG. Hey, what you share was very good. So whatever you understand, you can share. Don't be shy. But if you are not ready, please. Then you can actually play safe. You know what is play safe? You say, brother still advise her not to quote him. Understand? So he said, if you're really interested, you go and listen. Then you will know he's good or not. Personally, I find him very good. That's it, finish. Otherwise, you don't end up how. Also, Cindy shared with us a story down there. Cindy, can share or not? You forgot already, yeah? You want to go to retreat. Then Cindy was asked by the close friend, hey, where you go? Cameron Highland. Who is the teacher? Brother Theo. Not monk? Straight away don't want to go already. Then Cindy said, "Ayo, what a waste. Send the program also. No reply. I didn't even read. So they are just the way they are. Don't worry. So just let this be. That's why Bo Yan cannot come. Yes. Yeah, lah. The yogi. The yogi. Exactly the same. He asked, got teacher or not? He said, based on what I have gone through, no teacher. And then straight away, he sarcastically looked at him and walked off. Okay. The next one. Ardent, committed to the holy life. This one you all have. Seeing for oneself the noble truth. A lot of you also have seen. And realization of Nibbana. These are not easy. Maybe a few. These are the highest blessing. Although involved in worldly tasks, unshaken, the mind remains. And beyond all sorrow, spotless, secure. These are the highest blessing. Then the last one. They who live by following the path, no victory wherever they go, and every place for them is safe. These are the highest blessing. So he who live by following the path, here means Noble Eightfold Path. No victory wherever they go. Okay, good. Finish. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So these are all the important pointers on the sound. It's a good check. If you find which one you were lacking, strive on with heedfulness to develop it. Then when you come, every life, you are beautiful. Your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, your understanding. All this protect you. Okay, now we already, Sui sent out the program, we flip. So 7 to 8 is Dhamma sharing first. 7 to 7.30, sorry. Yeah, that's 7.30 to 8 is meditation. Okay. Amanyan, Oh, sorry. 10 minutes.
Page 167, part 3, meditation. 3.1, question 1. Why do I experience heat which comes and goes during meditation? Bada Tio reply, whether heat arises or not is not so important, because the main purpose and intent of meditation is to train the mind in heedfulness first, that is, to be in a stable state of relaxed inner awareness or mindfulness first. Then only can one meditate. Heat can be due to the environment that you are in or due to your yin and yang imbalance within your body. The key thing is just be in a state of relaxed inner awareness, to be aware of everything that is arising and passing away during meditation. Just maintain a silent, passive awareness. Don't try to know. The understanding will come by itself via an awakening and not via thinking. 3.2, question 2. I can be very heedful and mindful when I am here doing meditation in a very conducive environment. But when I'm in the midst of life, I can be very heedless. When I'm in a very negative environment or situation, I can become deluded very fast. Then I start to blame myself and get angry with myself. Why? But Tio replied,
okay, before that, you be careful to note this sentence. Then I start to blame myself and get angry. With what? With myself. See? That deluded self-delusion is so strong.
What is happening is, in the midst of life, everything around also bosong, bosong, bosong. But when meditate, can be very, very beautiful. And all, see? I can be very heedful and mindful when I'm doing the meditation. In a very conducive environment, see, qualify with this. But when I'm in the midst of life, habis. Means what? Didn't have the wisdom and the understanding. Because when you really do the right meditation, when the understanding unfolds, you will be of no problem or no issue when you go back to life, go back to society. You can cope. Yeah. So like I say, if you are a cultivator, you can't even resolve your own family issue, your own whatever life problem, it means you have not developed the stability or understanding. So all these are the way you check. Read on.
Brother Chia replied, "This is normal. When you are in the present, tranquil, meditative environment, you will be naturally more peaceful and heedful. Everything appears very smooth sailing because it is a conditioned environment or state of mind with no negativity to stir and test you. But when you are in the midst of life, you are usually less heedful. So, when you are with someone that you don't like or a weird and difficult person, then you are tested. During this moment, if you have yet to develop the wisdom needed to calm yourself down, then it is very likely that you will become unhappy via your heedless reaction to what they say and what they do. You will have to learn to confront or face all these negativities and difficult life situations with wisdom to free your mind. That's why you must investigate into all this, that is, how your reaction to sense experiences conditioned by your delusion develop into very strong habitual tendencies without you even becoming aware of them. Habitual tendencies born of delusion are difficult to change or correct overnight. Silence your mind to investigate into their origination factor so that you can later retrospectively reverse it via wisdom after you have contemplated deep into it. That is, how this anger or fear arises in your mind, and then inquire, are they real? Is angry or fear really what you are? Apart from these mental states that comes and go, is there a nature within that is unmoving and unchanging? All these are part of meditation."
So this one is what the third and fourth way are, especially the fourth way, trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it. So I'm guiding the cultivator or the meditator, and give, I remember it's a she, give her the pointer, then I give him a hint. I give her a hint. I say, is anger or fear really what you think you are? Apart from this mental state that come and go, is there a nature within that is unmoving and unchanging, or the ever shining, or the unconditioned? All these are part of meditation. Okay? Move on.
Your problem lies in your inability to recognize the fact that you are not what you are thinking or mundane mind tells you via your Sakkaya Ditti. Your true nature within is already perfect and without any negativity or discrimination and convention. So don't blame yourself for being like so useless because you cling onto your form and mind. The so-called human being as the you and the I and the me, hence the delusion. Blaming and getting angry with yourself is of no use because it is wrong view. The anger or fear that arises in is not you, but only a conditioned state of mind that arises after you have reacted to what you see and what you hear and think via your own Sakkaya Ditti or self-delusion, which is a wrong view. if you do not perceive whatever life situation that arises with negativity or wrong view, then you will not react and there will be no suffering. You will come to understand via your heedfulness that when things don't go your way, then you will react because you want things your way, which is against nature's law that governs all the life and existence. Hence, suffering will arise because you have your expectations that are not met and you are not able to understand that people are just the way they are. And this is a fact. This is part of the First Noble Truth, seventh condition or realities of life and existence. When you have right view, anger, selfishness and fear cease to be. As we all know, a deluded person will say and do deluded things. Likewise, an angry and violent person will do and say angry and violent things. You have to develop the wisdom via your meditation to just accept them for what they are. Then you will be peaceful. You only need to change and straighten your view to free your mind. This realization is wisdom. Hence the saying, wisdom frees, whereas delusion binds.
Ah, that saying is very good. Only wisdom free, whereas delusion binds. Yeah. So when a person don't know how to meditate, cannot realize the true mind, they cling on to the mundane mind. That's why they get angry at themselves, they blame themselves, and they become miserable over what their thought tell them. So all this become very clear after we have gone through the sharing. So determine not to allow yourself to fall into that heedless way. Then, like earlier I asked you, you want to be here or you want to be there? Here. So stay inside, aware. Understand? If you are here, means what? Up in your brain there. Understand? The chattering, the verbalization, all the mundane thinking. Understand? They say, "说鸟话，讲鸟尾." You heard of that? Niao hua. So don't go and cheep up there. Cheep. Everything you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, also you cheat. You think like the morning bird. The cheeping. That one is fresh air, morning, cool. They feel what? Nice environment, conducive, right? They say they cheep, they happy. You cheep here and miserable one. There you cheep for what? Understand? Don't be heedless. The chipping is like a bird, heedlessly chipping. And sometimes you chip and you are restless until cannot rest and don't know how to stop the chipping. Then take antihistamine, like Brother Fong. What happened? Backfire. Okay, continue.
3.3. Question 3. How do I overcome discrimination against a specific person? Balachir replied, when you use your false thinking or condition arising discriminative thinking mind to see and perceive a specific person via your wrong view and opinion born of your own mind's conditioning, then this discriminative perception will arise. The problem is your sakkayaditti or self-delusion that condition you to deludedly cling onto your false thinking mind, leading to your inability to realize your true mind to see things as they are via wisdom. Please refer to the 7th Sukangama Sutra notes dated 8th of January 2013 for further explanation. The Default Heart Sutta Class 1.1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata true meaning.
Okay, we read together, so that you understand how rare is it for you to have the affinity with the Triple Gem, to encounter the true teaching, the true Dhamma. So all the Mahayana Sutra opening statement, they remind the cultivator. Okay, we read together. verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. You must have this resolve, this determination. Then read on, tell me.
Reciting the above opening verse with great sincerity and faith is very important because it reminds us clearly of the following. 1. Rare is birth as a human being. 2. Rare is the opportunity of hearing the Dhamma. 3. Dangerous is the delusion of mind, via the analogy of turtle's egg in the great ocean. In the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, the Buddha used the metaphor of a blind turtle in a vast ocean to explain how difficult it is to be reborn as a human being, and at the same time to have the chance of hearing the Dhamma. Suppose there is a turtle egg floating on a vast ocean. The turtle egg has a hole, the size of which is just slightly larger for the head of a turtle to pop into. There is a long-lived sea turtle in the ocean. Once every 100 years, this turtle comes out from the bottom of the ocean and pops his head into the ocean surface, and the probability of it hitting the hole of the turtle egg is the probability of being born as a human being and to hear the Buddha Dhamma, i.e. to be able to be born a human and having the chance to hear the Dhamma. It's just as hard as for the blind turtle to encounter the turtle's egg on the vast ocean and let its head go through the hole of the turtle, of this turtle egg. Therefore, do not be heedless anymore, so that you will not lose sight of this great opportunity of already having the special condition to be a human being and the great condition to hear the Dhamma, yet not take it seriously to diligently cultivate, to awaken to it is going to be a real waste. If one misses this window, it may be hundreds of millions of aeons later before one can have another such condition or opportunity. 1.2. Question 1. What is heedfulness or apamada? Brother Teo replied, the importance of heedfulness is clearly expounded by the Buddha via his Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23. The Buddha said under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful never dies, whereas heedlessness is the path to the death, and the heedless are as if dead. So do not be heedless, and do strive on with heedfulness always. Apamada is the silent mind in heedfulness, attentiveness, alertness, non-laxity, diligence, and vigilance to develop the meditation to liberate the mind. Apamada or heedfulness is the cornerstone of all skillful mental states, and it is of such importance that the Buddha stressed it in his parting words or last exhortation. Transient are all conditioned things and phenomena. Strive on with heedfulness, apamadena sampadeta. 1.3. Apamada Sutta. Below is the Apamada Sutta as translated by Tanisaro Bhikkhu. Apamada Sutta. At Savatthi, as he was sitting on one side, King Pasanadi of Kosala said to the Blessed One, is there, Lord, any one quality that keeps both kinds of benefits secure, benefits in this life and benefits in life to come? There is one quality, great king, that keeps both kind of benefits secure, benefits in this life and benefits in life to come. But what, Lord, is that one quality? It is heedfulness, great king. Just as the footprint of all living beings with legs can be encompassed by the footprint of the elephant, and the elephant's footprint is declared to be the supreme among them in terms of its great size. In the same way, heedfulness is one quality that keeps both kinds of benefits secure, benefits in this life and benefits in life to come. That is what the Blessed One said. Having said that, the one well gone, the teacher said further, "For one who desires long life, health, beauty, heaven and noble birth, lavish delights, one after another, the wise praise heedfulness is in performing deeds of merits. When heedful and wise, you achieve both kinds of benefit. One, benefits in this life, and two, benefits in life to come. By breaking true to your benefits, you are called enlightened, wise. To be mindful or insati is to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness or attentiveness without thought. To be heedful is to be aware or mindful before the knowing, to understand the truth or to see things as they are. When the mind is silent, mindful and attentive without thought, then it is in sati. The silent mind with inner awareness to cultivate the Buddha Dharma, thus developing the wisdom of panya, or is heedfulness. The opposite of heedfulness is heedlessness, and when one is heedless, one is hardly aware and only merely conscious of life. Because one is too busy and heedlessly thinking, planning and worrying about life, so much so one totally misses out on life. One never really lives life because one is so preoccupied with one's thinking or thought processes, hence the heedlessness via constantly lost in thought most of the time and throughout the day. Heedful living allows us to be ever mindful of all our mental intention behind all our action, speech and thought processes. This will enable us to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path vector of right speech, right action, right thought via following the advice of the Buddha to apply the appropriate four right efforts to avoid all evil, do good and purify your mind. Heedfulness will prevent us from being heedless throughout the day so that the five hindrances of mind can be overcome and finalized, eradicated. Heedfulness will also enable us to trace the origination factors of the five hindrances of mind and three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. When they arise due to one's reaction of mind to sense experiences, by understanding how they arise via wisdom, we will be able to retrospectively reverse it. With heedfulness, we will be able to put the teaching to test and witness the Four Noble Truths and the Law of Dependent Origination or Traveling, occurring within our own form and mind with every moment of mental activity. Heedfulness will also enable us to see things as they are via our sati and samadhi, leading to the wisdom or panya. When one is heedful and mindful with inner awareness, most of the time one can see everything very clearly because the silent mind is not distracted by anything and it is not preoccupied with any heedless thinking, so it can see things as they are. It can be aware of thoughts, mental intention, emotion, fear, etc. It can also be aware of all movement like the moving cars, all our physical actions and movement, etc. When mindfulness has stabilized, it will develop into a continuous flow. Then your seeing or awareness will be so different because it can be aware of all of life, physical, mental and nature's flow. The mind is just silent and aware, one with all phenomena without thought and always heedful. When one's mind is no longer preoccupied with all the heedless thinking, then there is great clarity and one can see very clearly. Just like the saying goes, truth is everywhere, why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. That is when one is heedful, there is no thought. Only the senses are aware. So there is a lot of clarity. Everything is so clear. Without thoughts, there are no evil roots, i.e. no fear, no selfishness, and emotional negativity, etc. So develop the silent mind with inner awareness to be heedful always. For more details on heedfulness, please refer to the recorded talk. 1.4 Question: How to overcome anger? By the Teo replied, when there is anger arising, just be aware, don't think. Then silence your mind and sit back to relax. After a while, the agitation due to the stirring of your mind into anger via your heedlessness and delusion will slow down. Then suddenly, it will become completely still. Then you will come to understand with joy clearly that if you don't react to stir the mind, then you are in your original natural state of mind, which is peaceful and calm before the stirring. The analogy of a pool of still water will help illustrate the point. If stirred by a falling branch or a stone thrown into it, the ripples will start to form. Wind and weather may also create waves, just like fear and anger appearing in the mind due to external stimulus. A mind that is heedful, wise, and constantly aware will not be stirred by any delusion, hence it will be very calm and peaceful always. As a habitual tendency developed over the years are difficult to eradicate or do away with, one will need to be heedful most of the time throughout their daily life to stabilize the wisdom to deal with the strong habitual negative tendency. When the spiritual faculty of samadhi and enlightenment factor of equanimity are there, then one will no longer be entangled. The mind that is transformed will not react anymore, and instead it will just flow and accord via wisdom. When you try to share and there is no condition, but then others want to argue and want to be right, then you will say, yes, you are right, and let them be right, because they don't understand duality as yet, so just let things be. One must ask the question, right according to whom, and why must one defend oneself? It is because of the ego, the self-delusion that conditions one's selfishness, emotional negativity, and fear. Understand that things are just the way they are. No right, no wrong. By seeing things as they are, grasping and clinging to sense experience via delusion is the cause of suffering. Only wisdom liberates and frees the mind, nothing else. With wisdom, one will be able to understand and appreciate life more and more. Part 3, Meditation. 3.1 Question: during meditation, I heard and perceived the branches of the tree, and I returned to Anapanasati. But then the thoughts regarding the falling branches arise. May I have your comments? Brother Teo replied, this is what you are supposed to see in your meditation, because there is this subtle grasping going on within the mind. Meditation is to uncover all these unhealthy delusion and unwholesome subtle attachments to what is perceived with every moment of our conscious sense experiences via our trained mind in heedfulness or silent inner awareness, to understand what is going on in our own form and mind, how we are conditioned into thinking and reaction of mind, likes and dislikes, via our own self-delusion or sakkaya ditti. Why do these thoughts arise and not other thoughts? And we also see clearly how we are conditioned into grasping and clinging, leading to suffering caused by our own self-delusion, selfishness and emotional negativities, the three evil roots, which are the roots of all evil. In this particular case, there is this curiosity of mind due to ignorance that conditioned your grasping to what you perceived earlier, which is falling branches. This is attachment to one of our five aggregates of form and mind, and in this case, it is the perception aggregate. So the first of the dependent origination link of avijja paccaya sankhara, or dependent on ignorance sankhara, which is mental activities, comes to be. Hence the thought or thinking about the falling branches. This is witnessing how your mind functions, and via all this heedfulness training, you will also witness all the Buddha's teaching like the Four Noble Truths and the 12 Links, etc. In your own life experience via your daily mindfulness to understand who are you and what are you, what you are, including how you function as a human being, how the sense-door consciousness and the stirring of the mind comes to be, etc., so as to develop the requisite wisdom and understanding leading to the subsequent awakening via insight into the three characteristics of nature of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, especially the anatta universal characteristics.
Okay, thank you. So we end. You have your half an hour of meditation. Okay. We are off the light so that you can do your sitting. Spend time, half an hour, very fast. So try to stabilize it.